Put your hand on your heart. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you would open the eyes of our hearts. God, pour out your spirit of wisdom and revelation that we could know you and know the hope of the gospel. In Jesus' name, amen. Lamp is bright. All right. I believe the Lord put a message on my heart today. I'm still kind of processing through it. We love the kids running around is just an added touch here, so just get used to it. And we invite them to worship with us. Hopefully the Lord lands on them during all this and just wrecks them. Just baptize them, Lord. I'm going to talk about proximity tonight, proximity to the Lord. And my goal in preaching, teaching, communicating with you is to really clear up why we do what we do and the importance of a corporate space like this for the Lord to have a resting place. Like, why does that matter? A lot of us are involved in church. We go to church all the time. We go to small group. We love discipleship, all these things. Why does it matter, though, to have a corporate resting place for the Lord? And that's what I want to dive into tonight. You ever hear anybody say, God is sovereign? But like 9 times out of 10 when I hear that, it's kind of like an excuse. That didn't work out. Well, God is sovereign. Or like, God is good, you know, God's will be done, God is sovereign. You ever hear that phrase? Is that true? Yes, 100%, God is sovereign. Thanks, Lord, or Clay. God is sovereign 100%. But it can actually take us out of our role here on earth when we begin to use that phrase or that statement as an excuse. Let me explain it this way. As soon as God is sovereign, becomes an excuse to not pursue the kingdom or to not pursue God. It's been twisted by the devil. What is true becomes twisted by the devil when our motivation tied behind that statement becomes an excuse to not pursue the Lord. Does that make sense? It's like saying, God's presence is all around us. Is that true? 100%. But there's dimensions of the Lord's presence that we have not tapped into yet because there requires a pursuit. Does that make sense? God's presence is here, yes, but is his glory here? Is the manifestation of his presence seen? Is it felt? Did you experience heaven? Because the truth is the earth and everything that we see, feel, hear, do, touch, say is a shadow of a truer reality. Earth shadows heaven. Heaven is the real reality, and earth is everything that happens on earth is a byproduct of what's going on in the spiritual realm. God is sovereign and fully present, but there's a big, big, big difference between saying God's presence is here versus God's presence is here. Like his manifest presence. It's really hard to explain. It's hard to explain God. It's hard to explain his presence. It's hard to explain these things. And we were in the group chat today where all revelatory things happen. Praise God. More, Lord. Get her. We were in the group chat today, and I sent this message about, like, explaining God. I think one of the best explanations for explaining God is like explaining the sun. There's an object of the sun, then there's the light of the sun, and then there's the warmth of the sun. It's like God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Hey, kids, chill. It's like trying to explain the Trinity. You have the object of the sun, you have the light of the sun, and then you have the warmth of the sun, all coming from the same thing. But there's different levels. Does that make sense? God's presence is all around us, but why do we feel him sometimes? What about the glory of God? When it enters the room, the atmosphere literally changes. It's like the Azusa revival. They called the fire department because what people saw on the outside of what looked like the entire building was on fire. But there were people inside ministering to the Lord and getting delivered and getting saved. And they were not getting burned alive. There was no fire. But what was perceived on the outside was a measure of God's presence that doesn't normally happen. And the fire department was called multiple times because people thought a building was on fire when it was the presence of God. How can God's presence be all around us, yet sometimes we experience more of his presence? You guys ever asked those questions before? No one denies that the sun does not exist, yet at night we can't see it, we can't feel it. The effects of the sun are, I mean, it's still there, but it's not, we do not have our attention turned towards it, and it's on the other side of the earth at night, number one. But when does the sun have the most effect? When you're close to it, right? When you're in Florida, everybody goes to spring break, they get a tan. Proximity determines the intensity of the sun. What? Proximity to the Lord results in manifestations of who he is. When you're close to the sun, the S-U-N, you feel the heat, and when you turn your face to it, you begin to take it in. UV rays, whatever you want to, however you want to call taking in the sun. In the same way, when we're close to the Lord, we begin to feel the effect. And when we turn our face, our attention to the sun, S-O-N, we start to shine. We start to become like him. Stay with me. How can God be everywhere, yet sometimes when we're close to him, the glory comes in the room or the anointing comes, and all of a sudden we're taken into what feels like a different reality. The reality of your life on earth is you may be dealing with some things. You may be dealing with, I don't know, anxiety, but all of a sudden when you turn your attention to the Son, the Lord, you're taken into his reality, and you find that your anxiety lessens or you get delivered or whatnot. The effects of the Lord happen more so when we pursue proximity, being close, a closeness with God. It's his presence, and he is heaven. Heaven would not be heaven without the Lord. Hell is just eternal separation from the Lord. We know that the things of the earth are a shadow of heaven. We live in a lesser reality. Proximity to the Lord takes us into a true reality. And the Holy Spirit, I want to talk about the Holy Spirit for a minute. The Holy Spirit draws us to the Son. It's the gift that Jesus gave us when he died on the cross. He went to the Father and he pours out the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit draws you to the Son and through the Son to the Father. It's a cyclical process, and I want us to understand tonight the Holy Spirit's role in a corporate setting with the body of Christ and how we can actually participate in that. It's beautiful how the Lord has designed his church to operate, but sometimes we put our hands on the steering wheel and we take way too much control and we don't actually learn to let the Lord flow within a corporate setting. And to do this, I'm actually going to go through some Old Testament scriptures. Sydney, you don't have to put these all up because I'm going to go through them kind of rapid fire. But you guys can write them down if you want, just to identify what the Holy Spirit does. Even in the Old Testament, Genesis 1, verse 2. We all know that verse. The Spirit of God was hovering or moving over the waters. Exodus 31, 3. The Spirit of God fills. In this case, he filled a craftsman with wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. That's awesome. Jesus was a craftsman. That means the Holy Spirit fills not just ministers, priests, or holy people. He fills craftsmen, which in today's day and age is saying a lot. Numbers, I can say that because I've worked in the construction industry. I can say that. Anyway, Numbers 11, 16 through 26. The Spirit comes on them and they prophesy. Numbers 24, 1 through 6. The Spirit comes on Balaam and he blesses. Numbers 27, 18. The Spirit anoints Joshua. Judges 6, 34. The Spirit clothes Gideon. Judges 13, 25, the Spirit stirs Samson. Judges 14, 6, the Spirit empowers Samson to kill a lion. 1 Samuel 10, 6 through 10, the Spirit comes on Saul to prophesy. The Holy Spirit in the Old Testament comes upon mightily. He clothes, he stirs, he empowers. He does these things to people to step so that they can step into heavenly realities when the Lord chooses to do so. So what does any of this have to do with what we do here? Because the Lord is building a dwelling place for himself. Who builds it? The Lord. The Lord is building a dwelling place for himself. He is the one that builds, and he builds not in ways that we can often understand. He chooses to do a lot of his work through humans because he loves partnership. He created us with union and communion and fellowship with him. We know that unless the Lord builds the house, the laborers labor in vain. So what work can we possibly do? We enjoy him. It's all about proximity. It's all about we get close to the Lord. We turn our face to the Son of God and we let him dwell with us. We need, and what happens in that environment is the Holy Spirit lands. He lands on people here and there. And we have to pay attention to where he's moving in the room, because everywhere he moves in the room and who he lands upon and who he chooses to do something through is actually an invitation for us all to collectively come up underneath that anointing. And through that, the Lord deposits what he's doing in one person into his body. Does that make sense? We need the breath of God. Like Ezekiel, we were going through this in prayer set. We need the breath of God, like Ezekiel, when he prophesied the dry bones to life. He prophesied that the breath of God would come and fill the dry bones and bring them to life. We see in the New Testament, this is so cool. Jesus says, he goes to his disciples after he came back from the dead. He goes to his disciples, he says, receive the Holy Spirit. And he did what? Does anybody know? He breathed into them. What is this? This is the breath of life. This is the Spirit of God. God is ever present, yes, but when the wind of God, the breath of God comes, it brings true life. And we see this, I was reading John 10:10 on Wednesday. John 10:10. Hey, Rhema. John 10:10. Jesus says, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that you may have life and life abundant. What's really cool about this is one of the meanings of life in this verse is the breath of God. Jesus says, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come so that you would have the breath of God and have it abundantly. And this word for life, it's the breath of God, but it brings with it the supernatural capacity to know God. So in a roundabout explanation, you can't truly know God without proximity to his presence that enables him to breathe on you. Does that make sense? You can't know God without being close enough to him where he can breathe on you, because it's in the breath of God that he imparts the capacity to know him. You can't know him without him. So now what do we do? What do we do? There are some practicals, and this is why corporate praise and worship is the most, I think, the most important thing. I've come a long way. Is the gospel the most? Yes, all these things are important, obviously. But in a corporate setting, praise and worship, I don't know how we do it without praise and worship. We see that David transforms a nation because he places... Thank you, Clay. David transforms a nation because he places ministry to the Lord as the central piece of society. We know that God is enthroned. We talked about this in our group text, and Taylor pointed out, God is enthroned on the praises of his people. This is in Scripture. It says, God is enthroned upon the praises of his people. But God's presence is everywhere, and he's sitting on the throne. Again, there's dimensions to God's presence, and we're after more. I want to know more. I want to experience more. And here's a practical. God is enthroned upon our praises. Psalm 22:3. It says, God is enthroned upon our praises. The word for praise is tehillah, not tequila. Tehillah. When we break that word down, it means songs bursting forth from the hearts that have been birthed by the Holy Spirit. So, in a corporate setting, we start to minister to the Lord, and the Holy Spirit lands on someone and produces in them a song in their heart that's been birthed by the Holy Spirit. They begin to sing it out, and there's an anointing on that because the breath of God is on that. Do you get it? Psalm 71 says, "The harp in my heart will praise you, Lord." There's an engagement with the Holy Spirit that we're missing because no one knows who the Holy Spirit is. No one knows what the Holy Spirit does, and we're too afraid to let him have any type of control in our meetings, because in Scripture, when the Holy Spirit gets involved, people strip down their clothes and God shakes them by the hair, and they prophesy and they do really weird things. And so we say, Holy Spirit, stay over there. Don't do that here. I would be very uncomfortable with that stuff as well. Not encouraging anyone to do that, by the way. Please don't just do that to do that. Don't manifest to try and make God do anything. But I'm saying that there's a partnership with the Holy Spirit in a corporate gathering that the church is becoming malnourished because the breath of God is missing. The Holy Spirit's not allowed to do anything in our gatherings anymore because we have such a tight grip on the wheel of the ship, and we're not letting God do anything because we've come up with a vision and a culture and everything that we need to build, and we are laboring in vain and not allowing the breath of God to come into a corporate setting. And that's the very thing that feeds us, because it's the anointing of God himself in the room. And he is your shepherd and you are his sheep, and we're malnourished if we don't let him have control or his way in a gathering. So you think, I mean, people think all the time that we just do spontaneous songs because they're in right now. No, spontaneous songs birthed in our hearts by who? The Spirit of God, the Spirit that takes us into the courts of heaven, the ultimate reality, because it says, enters gates through praise and enter the courts of heaven. Sorry, what does it say? Yes. The gates of thanksgiving and the courts of praise. You know what type of praise that is? Tehillah. You enter the courts of heaven through the song that the Holy Spirit deposits in your heart. We're missing the courts of heaven. We're missing heaven's reality because we're not allowing the Holy Spirit room to move about a gathering and deposit what he will and who he wishes. The Lord can't build anything when the workers are laboring in vain. The work of heaven, listen, the work of, if you want to know how do I do the work of heaven, the work of heaven is proximity and abiding. You want to know how to build something with the Lord? Get as close to him as possible with the tools that he's given us. What are the tools? Thanksgiving, praise, adoration, and agreeing with him. And we let him build what he wishes to build in our city. there's a page I want to read out of this book. If you haven't read this book, it's called Enthroned. And it is so good. It's on Amazon. Get it and read it. But we can have the worship team come on up too. So it says, David's tabernacle is a model for how God works with mankind to extend the borders of his kingdom on earth. It's an incredible thought, but God gave dominion over the earth to human beings. Second only to the Godhead, we have the highest level of authority in earth. As God's representatives, our decisions carry incredible weight and significance for what happens in the earth. We have the power to choose whether evil or righteousness rules the land. The enemy can rule only when men surrender their power by agreeing with him. Whoever we agree with, we empower. Whoever we exalt, we enthrone. If we don't want God among us, he will not come. If we choose to give our allegiance to the works of darkness, he will allow it. God chooses to cooperate with the governmental structure he sets in place. He will not override the will of man to enforce his. This makes what David did all the more powerful. Through night and day worship and prayer, David established a place of continual agreement with the will of God in the earth. David knew they weren't just singing songs, but were building a throne and habitation for the King of Kings to rule the land again. As they sang, God fought. As they cast their crowns down, God took up his. As they bowed down, God rose victorious over all their enemies. We miss the point entirely if we only talk about David's tabernacle in reference to worship and prayer. David's tabernacle was about the restoration of the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. And we're going to spend the next, I don't know how long, worshiping. And what I want us to participate in is letting the Holy Spirit move around the room and land on whoever he wishes to land on. And I'm guessing tonight it'll be easy to recognize where the anointing is. And when you recognize it, there's an invitation for you to come up underneath it, go to the feet of Jesus, and receive what he's pouring out. Does that make sense? And so if just stand to your feet, and in your hearts, just agree with this. Jesus, we want you to have your way. We want you to build your church. Lord, you are the great shepherd. You are the great teacher. You're the best counselor. You're the healer. You're our father. You're our friend. You can do all things. And we want more of your presence, Lord. We want more of your presence tonight, your manifest presence. We know that you're all around. We know that you're here. But God, we ask that you would come in power tonight. We ask that you would walk in the room, that you would be enthroned on the praises of your people tonight. That you would come and dwell, come and meet with us. Because we need to know you. We have to know you. We need the breath of God in this room. So I encourage you tonight, meet with the Lord. Meet with the Lord. Pursue proximity and closeness with God tonight. What does it look like? What does it look like for you to pursue him tonight? I don't care what anyone else in the room does. What does it look like for you to pursue the Lord tonight? And if you haven't tasted and seen, what's it look like for you to just tonight say, Lord, I want to taste and see that you are good. Holy Spirit, would you fill us tonight? Would you land on us tonight? Would you help us to love you? In Jesus' name, amen.